Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. This week on Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with CEO of OB Hospitalist Group, Lenny Castiglione. In this conversation, we talked about how hospitals and health systems are increasingly working with third-party providers for obstetrics as well as anesthesiology, nursing, and others to reduce costs and improve care for patients. Hi, Lenny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Brianna. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Glad to have you joining me for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
It's great to be here. Great to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. Okay. Well, just to get started, you know, just for myself and for our listeners, if you can just tell us, you know, what it is that you do through OB Hospitalist Group or OBHG and maybe the mission of your organization.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am the Chief Executive Officer of OB Hospitalist Group, mostly referred to as OBHG by many in the industry, just to shorten it up. And we are in the obstetrical hospitalist business. That's our single focus. And our mission is really to elevate the standard of women's care by delivering specialized services. And so in layman's terms, what that means is we have an obstetrician on labor and delivery 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, really serving as the chief safety officer. So there to integrate with the labor and delivery team, coordinate with community physicians, and to make sure that we're putting safety and quality first for women.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. So for the topic of our conversation today, I wanted to get into, you know, the issues that do need to be addressed among OBGYNs concerning costs and improving care for women.
Yeah, there's probably just a few that jump to the top of the mind really quickly. I think overall cost of care is predominantly driven by the level of hospitalization that you have that is going to be probably driven by whether you have a C-section or not. So I think the one area that we focus around is how do we make sure that the C-sections are appropriate. So the C-section rate is a big focus for the hospital systems that we work in. Probably on the entry point of access, right? A big point of concern around cost is really access for the underserved population.
Right.
Making sure they have access to the right prenatal care. And then probably the last piece is what is has been talked about in the media for quite a long time now is maternal mortality, right? There's been so much focus on the baby. What happens to the pregnant mother after they deliver? How long are they tracked for? What's the specialty care that they actually need to make sure that we as a country are improving the level of mortality that we have? Because it's a pretty abysmal story.
Yeah. And before I get into, you know, maybe what your organization does to address some of these issues, I actually meant to ask, you know, I guess where are you located
Where's the company located?
Yeah. Or like where do you serve, I guess?
Where do we serve? So we are quite expansive. We're in 33 states.
Oh, awesome.
We are currently partnered with about 180 different hospitals. And again, as you think about it, where there's density in number of people, there's typically density in number of hospitals and density of births. So the big areas, Florida, Texas, California, but in 30 other states in between there. So all across the country.
Okay, wonderful. That's amazing. So again, before we get into more of the depth of the services, are you seeing a difference in some of these locations, or are they kind of all address problems? We're all like where you're located, I guess.
if that makes
It's a good question. We get asked that a lot and say, is this just for big hospitals? Is it
sense.
for small hospitals? I think what we found, we've been doing this for 15 years now, and I think what we found is that regardless of size or location of a hospital, the maternity issues that hospitals have and the questions that they have and the concerns they have around safety and quality, it doesn't really differ that much if you're doing 500 deliveries or 5,000 deliveries. And so we have found that a large number of our customers are larger hospitals, but equally important are those smaller rural hospitals as well.
Of course, thank you. Now to get into some of these issues you address, how does OBHG help reduce costs and improve care?
Yeah, I think very similar to many other service lines, it's about consistency and standardization. You know, and I think OB and the delivery side of things, given that there's so many different physicians that are there practicing on labor and delivery, and they're doing things kind of their own different way, I think reducing costs starts with that level of standardization. And for us as an organization, it really starts with the leadership to be able to have that impact, to bring forward those standard protocols that the labor and delivery teams can use. And so, as the community physicians are really, really busy taking care of patients in their clinic, they're doing GYN surgery, our physicians typically step into that leadership role on labor and delivery of making sure that we bring forward those standards. And we rely upon the data, to bring forward that, the data that we look across all clinicians across the entire labor and delivery unit to really help drive us as far as, how do we make sure that we're improving that care and reducing that cost.
Great, thank you. Now, this may be a bit repetitive, but what are some of the pain points an OB hospice program helps solve for?
Yeah, so it's not repetitive at all. I think the biggest pain point in obstetrics and gynecology, if you ask anyone in this industry, is the amount of call and coverage that physicians have, right? They're constantly on. They constantly have to be anywhere, everywhere. They have to be everywhere. They have to be in the clinic. They have to be in labor and delivery. They have to be in surgery. And so I think the biggest pain point is really around how do you make sure that those physicians are not having burnout, right? It's like there's a high level of burnout, and I think by making sure that we're there to support them and collaborate with them, and making sure that we're reducing, helping reduce those serious harm events. The biggest pain point is probably around clinician burnout.
Okay. Now, does COVID affect, your guys' operations in a way?
I think as hospitalists that are there 24/7, hospitals have needed us to play very different roles, right? Across the hospital, on labor and delivery, in other parts of the hospital, how do we manage patients differently? So I'd say, and back to the overall burnout situation, that's an area that I think that I look at and say, now that we're a year into it, and think about, we keep thinking about the level of burnout of people that are isolated or working from home, but I think our clinicians that are constantly working in a very uncertain environment clinically with this virus, I'd be worried about the burnout of our clinicians. I know that we're spending a lot of time with our clinicians talking about that.
Okay, great. Thank you. So for the next question I had, can you describe the relationship between OBHG hospitalists and private practice OBGYNs?
Yeah, this is a relationship we take very seriously because it's vitally important to provide a seamless level of patient care. One, we don't want to compete with the community practices, right? So our teams are completely dedicated to hospitalist medicine. But I think the relationship is, if I were to define it in one way, Brianna, we want to make sure it's seamless, right? As a patient comes to the hospital for an emergency service and then goes back into prenatal care, we want to make sure that handoff is seamless and that care is coordinated between the inpatient side and the outpatient side. As I mentioned to you before, the community OBGYN has to be everywhere, it seems like, at the same time. And so by us being the model of us being in the hospital to help them when those patients are needed allows them to stay in the clinic. So it's a highly collaborative relationship that we spend a lot of time on.
That's great. Okay, thank you. Now, what are future areas OBHG and other companies that offer services to hospitals can serve?
Yeah, so every hospital really has a vision for its maternity level, for its maternity service. And I think our goal is to make sure that we help them achieve that vision, which in most times is unique to that market and to that population that they serve. So we're doing everything from coordinating care with federally qualified health clinics with the hospital, supporting certified nurse midwives in birthing centers, or a birthing center within a hospital, which is a kind of a new and popular concept, or developing a high-risk clinic, or how do we make sure that we're providing further access for mothers that are insured by Medicaid, right? And may not have all the access that others. So I think it's just helping the overall hospital execute on its unique strategy. But I think also as we think ahead and look at the maternity episode and look at how do we continue to reduce cost, increase quality in what's known as now the value-based care equation, right? Mm-hmm. We think that we can help the hospital enter into that next generation of contracting and services with their payers in the right way, and by bringing our services to the table as well.
Okay. Now, this may also carry on from the question I asked earlier, just about, how COVID, I guess, advanced a lot of telehealth services and stuff like that. Did you guys maybe adopt more services for your patients?
Yeah, we did. So as the community practices did that as well, I think within the hospital, and keep in mind, we provide services within the hospital. We were doing screening of COVID patients, screening of pregnant women in different parts of the hospital before they came to labor and delivery, right? And so I do think that was a vital part that we played. So just as patients were accessing their community providers via telehealth early on in this process, mm-hmm. when they first came to the hospital, hospitals wanted to make sure that they were managing that population that could have possibly been infected. We didn't know whether they were positive or negative. So how do we screen those patients by using telehealth internally within the hospital?
Okay, got it. Thank you. And then can you share maybe some of the top healthcare business, technology, or policy areas you're following right now?
Well, we just talked about one, telehealth, right? So right. Technology, telehealth, if you're not having a conversation about telehealth in today's healthcare world, then you've been absent for...
You're behind or something.
Yeah. And I think from an obstetric standpoint, it has a great... it serves a great need of continuing to provide that access, right? So I'd say technology is that. On the policy side, we're looking at the expansion of Medicaid on the policy and on the business side. What does that mean for our hospitals? What does that mean for that population, right? Mm-hmm. We're also watching hospital consolidations. As hospitals consolidate, what does that mean if they don't have an obstetric service offered any further in that rural community? If that hospital closes, if those hospitals consolidate, what does that mean? And so I think we're watching that from a business. But I think also on the policy side, just one more back to the policy side, we're looking at what the new administration is bringing forward with maternal mortality and expansion of care for women post-delivery, right? So Medicaid is now looking at providing care for women a year post-delivery versus the 60 days or 90 days that it was doing previously. So there's a lot of very exciting things happening.
Okay, wonderful. Now, as you mentioned, rural hospitals, is there any difference, kind of what we spoke about earlier on the conversation, maybe a difference in how you provide services for patients in rural areas? Or is it kind of just,
Yeah, it does. It may differ a little bit just because when you look at rural areas, they may have a fewer number of providers, right? So a rural hospital may only have two or three OBGYNs in the entire community. And so therefore, how do we serve as an extender of their practice to protect them from burnouts where they're not working every weekend and they're not getting called all hours of the night? Mm-hmm. So the OB hospitalist team can serve as that kind of call option for them and that coverage option that really helps extend the career or extend the life of a community provider when you're only working with two or three. Very, very different than if you have a community that may have 30 or 40 OBGYNs.
Right.
And there's a lot of access and a lot of coverage.
Okay.
So it does differ.
Yeah. Thank you. And lastly, you know, if there's anything else, you know, maybe I didn't cover that you want to share, maybe specifically on what else should professionals in managed care know about OBHG?
Yeah, I think so in speaking to this audience that is focused on managed care, I think there's a lot of focus around how do you manage episodes of care, right? And the maternity episode, given that it's 9 months plus, however you define it, sometimes I think it lends itself to being viewed as pretty simple, right? But in reality, I think when you look at increasing quality and controlling cost, it is very, very complex. And the reason why it's complex is because it has inpatient care and outpatient care. It has clinic care, it has hospital care, it has a lot of different providers that are involved in it. And so I just want to make sure that when you're approaching the maternity episode of looking at it as a bundle, that it's not as simple as it appears. But the way I'd like managed care to think about it and say, if you have an OB hospitalist team that really sits at the center of that, I think we do a very good job of pulling all that together, of looking at it and saying, connecting the prenatal and the post-op care and the delivery care and the hospital care and the clinic care together. So where, and that's historically not a provider that you've had before. And so I think the OB hospitalist plays a vital role in bringing all that together when you look at it from a value-based care equation.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, that's actually all I had, Lenny. So I appreciate you really educating me on this topic, and I'm sure our listeners as well. So I appreciate your time, and hopefully look forward to another conversation in the future.
No, thank you for having me, and I appreciate you bringing forward the discussion about hospitalist medicine and women's healthcare to this audience.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.